Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today's first reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, with the preaching of the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, proclaiming to the Jews in Jerusalem the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter accuses the Jews of the sin of deicide, which is the sin of killing God. He says, quote, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Acts 2, verse 36. And St. Luke says that when the crowd heard this, they were cut to the heart. It says in verse 37, that means that the Holy Spirit was convicting them of their sin. They had a spiritual heart attack, as it were. The Holy Spirit converts hearts. He consoles hearts as well, but he also convicts hearts. He convicts us of our sins. Jesus said before his crucifixion that he would send the Holy Spirit, quote, "And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment." John 16, verse 8. That's exactly what's happening here in the first reading. The Holy Spirit is convicting all the guilty parties of their role in putting our Lord to death. When we're cut to the heart by the preaching or the sharing of the gospel, that really is the moment of truth for us. That's when God places before us a choice. I can either humble my heart and repent of my sins and bad choices, or I can harden my heart. To humble my heart or to harden my heart, that is the question, if you want to put it in Shakespearean terms. Hardening our hearts means that we refuse to hear the truth. We hear the truth, we should say. We hear it, but we refuse to embrace it. Hardening our hearts means that we choose to justify ourselves and our choices rather than letting God justify us. It's a form of self-justification, the hardening of the heart. Proverbs 12, 21, verse 2 says, quote, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord judges the heart." And Jesus said in his preaching to the Pharisees, he said, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts." Luke 16, verse 15. So the question is, do I want God to justify me, or do I want to justify myself? Hell is for those who seek their own justification, who seek to justify themselves. Heaven is for those who allow God to justify them. And how do we allow God to justify us? Well, St. Peter tells us in today's first reading. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2, verse 38. So justification comes through faith, through repentance, and through the sacraments. Yes, the sacraments, especially the sacrament of baptism, but then after baptism, especially the sacrament of confession for those of us who have already been baptized but have fallen again into serious sin. The Holy Spirit, the prosecutor, we could call him the prosecutor, through the preaching of St. Paul, he gets a successful conviction in today's first reading. He prosecutes, he gets a successful conviction. Acts 2, verse 41 says that 3,000 souls repented and they received the gift of baptism on that day. If we want an example of an unsuccessful conviction on the part of the Holy Spirit, well, we can actually turn back to the gospel itself, the pages of the gospel where when Caiaphas bound our Lord by an oath to tell him if he was the Messiah or not, and Jesus in Mark 14:62 said that he was the Messiah. And what was Caiaphas' response? He tore his clothes and he accused Jesus of blasphemy. That's Mark 14, verses 63 and 64. The moment of truth came when our Lord told the high priest the truth. And the high priest responded in anger and in defiance. Anger and defiance, by the way, are not among the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicted Caiaphas, but he refused to repent. One of the things that God can't do is force you to embrace the truth, because that goes against God's nature. His nature is love, and love cannot be forced. It must be chosen. Love is a choice. So embracing or rejecting the truth is a choice as well. I'm sure some of us have experienced what Christ experienced in front of Caiaphas. We tell somebody that their choices that they're making aren't in line with what God wants for them, or we tell them that certain behaviors are sinful, or we tell them that based on our faith, they're making the wrong decisions in doing this or in doing that. And sometimes the response we get is what Jesus got. Sometimes we get anger and defiance as a response, and perhaps that's even how we respond when we're challenged sometimes about imprudent or ungodly decisions that we make, or about our conduct or our way of thinking. Sometimes it cuts both ways. Sometimes we respond in that way as well. The best response is to pray to the Lord for a humbling of hearts, of our own hearts first and foremost, and also of the hearts who need to repent of their sins. St. Augustine once said this. He said, "We make a ladder of our vices if we trample those same vices underfoot." He said, "We make a ladder of our vices if we trample those same vices underfoot." So the vice of pride can become the ladder of humility, which will lead us to paradise if we learn to trample our pride under our feet. And we do that how? By embracing the corrections of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, we just want to note how the Holy Spirit used the Apostle Peter to convict the crowd and to bring about their conversion. Peter was a secondary cause, but he was a real cause nonetheless in converting the Jews on that day. The primary cause of their conversion is, of course, the Holy Spirit. In our sharing in the work of the Holy Spirit and admonishing those who are sinning, we need to make sure that we're not adding to the offensiveness of what we're preaching, meaning that there's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it as well. Some of us are probably very good at knowing how not to do it. Right intentions, but the wrong way of doing it. We need to try to cultivate in our heart a spirit, first, of unconditional love towards others. That's a big help in opening up people to the truth. Attacks and accusations wound hearts more than they open hearts, so we need to be careful about that. When people see that we have actually a heart for them and not just for the truth, then again, they're more open to our words when that happens. Steamrolling people, even with the best arguments, will usually just flatten them. If you steamroll them with the best arguments, it'll just flatten them. It won't convert anyone. A lot of times it'll push them even further away. So pray to the Holy Spirit that He will help you to know what to say and what not to say, and also when to say it and how to say it as well. And that way we too become more like delicate heart surgeons rather than steamrollers. And we begin more and more to operate like the Holy Spirit Himself operates. So let's ask Our Lady today, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, for the grace to look upon others with eyes of mercy and with a heart of mercy. Let's also ask her to help us to be true instruments of the Holy Spirit in the lives of others so that we can share in the Holy Spirit's work of conversion. And let's remember the words of our Lord when He says this, "I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who have no need of repentance," Luke 15, verse 7. So let's aim at the conversion of hearts, just like the Holy Spirit does every single day. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen. Amen.